You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David.
How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
I'm doing good, thank you. How was your weekend?
It was beautifully, wonderfully, peacefully quiet.
Ah.
Just the way I like it.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Mine was as well, and there's a lot to be said for peace and quiet, isn't there?
Oh, you can't put a price on it.
You really can't. You really can't put a price on it. And thankfully, the price we've already paid probably by arranging our lives, that's the price you pay, by arranging your life in such a way so you can have some peace and quiet.
And, you know, people think you got to, you know, sometimes we get this mental picture that we have to go somewhere to find peace. You know, we got to take a trip, we got to get on an airplane or a train or a boat and, you know, go to this tropical island where they have hammocks and little grass shacks. And I got news for you, friend. If you can't find peace right now, right where you are, you're not going to find it there either.
No, that's well said, and I'm a real believer in there's no place like home. And even if you're on a vacation, and, you know, I rarely have taken vacations, and I have to say the few that I have taken I have really enjoyed, but there is a difference, there's a qualitative difference in being somewhere and being thrilled by it, and even being thrilled by the comfort and beauty of it, as opposed to just being in your own backyard, you know, or in your own home. So that is if your own home is a peaceful place, which it isn't always a peaceful place necessarily for people. So,
and if your home is not a peaceful place, traveling to some distant land is not going to create peace within you, because inside of you is still that house you left behind where there is no peace.
Well said. Well said. Well, with all of that, I had a very peaceful weekend as well, and it was very nice to recuperate and got some exercise and got away from the computer and the screens a little bit, which is always a good thing to do. Okay, so let's take a quick look at today's session on for our product, Messenger Pro, on Friday at 12:30 Chicago time. We noted that we believe that the trend was down and that a further important decline was necessary into today, Monday. Mm-hmm. One of the things that forecast was the fact that the market completed the $1,014.15 upside target. Conditions under our particular methodology, the decline, the size of the decline would have to be larger than what we had already had, which was to go from 1014 down to 992, and that was the 992 was a level listed in the support and resistance panel. But what we'd like to see on the down, without making it too confusing, we'd like to see them get down to the 975, 974 level. That would be a natural place for this decline to get to. So we'd like to see that occur. The fact that the market has now done what is natural and normal under our particular way of looking at it indicates to us that we're starting to get some early indications of a more important top being in place. Mm-hmm. But we can't say with the kind of certainty that we normally would, well, you know, this is a firm top or this is a bottom, because the month of July did something, and it's too difficult to describe it verbally, but the month of July did something that, in our work, takes some of that certainty away for now. So we're looking to shorter term time frames for that confirmation. And the first confirmation would be that, as we said on Friday, that there would be a further sharp decline into Monday. And today has done that, and they've made their first attempt at that 975 level. If we get down to 975, 974, touch it, even spike it, either close above or below it. If we close above it, that'll be an early indication for a daily bottom being put in here. if we close below it, that will be the weaker position for the time being. But I would like to see, we would like to see the 74, 75 level get tested between today and tomorrow. It's not an outright forecast for that to occur, but we'd prefer to see that. And then we can go from there. And then there would probably be an interesting and valuable buying opportunity for multi-day advance. And so I'm hoping that our turning point calendar will get updated so that we can give you that and hopefully make some money on the upside. Because if you're trading in the markets, I have news for you. You're a capitalist. You believe in the free markets, okay? I don't care what you think of yourself as. I don't care how you, you know, think of yourself in your mind or your background. But if you're trading in the markets, you are a capitalist, because there's nothing more capitalistic, if there is such a word, than the free markets themselves. Sometimes people say, well, it's interesting, but I'm not really buying or selling a product. But in fact, the mere participation in the free market system is capitalism. Buying and selling contracts, you're providing liquidity, and there's many other factors that you're doing for the market, but the simple act of participating in something so basic as the sheer market movement up and down makes you a capitalist. So I don't want to wreck your week if you were thinking of yourself as something other than a capitalist. And I, you know, I'm just mentioning the fact that, and of course, if you do think of yourself as a capitalist, this is just more confirmation that you're on the right road, because capitalism is what the free markets are all about. The fact is that the governments have very wisely, I believe, left the markets quite free. You know, the regulation that we have on markets is fairly limited. You do see some regulation in individual stocks with the, you know, the uptick rule and some of these other things. And a lot of the rules that the government has come out with have really been relatively mild, and they've been to try to avoid fraud and people abusing the free market as it is, et cetera. But we really do have a very free market movement.
One of the big indicators we watch is the non-farm payrolls.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the future, one of the big indicators we're going to watch is the non-government payroll.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's if this guy doesn't stay in office, because if he stays in office, we're all going to be working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll all have government jobs. You know, to me,
I've been practicing my goose step already.
Yeah. The term government worker is almost an oxymoron to me. You know, that the two don't go together, like jumbo shrimp or something like that. Government worker, there's, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me. But the bottom line is that we still have a capitalistic society, and capitalism is alive and well still so far in America, and the markets are really a great representation of that. And one of the great things about the markets, one of the interesting ideas about it, is that you don't have to be anybody. You can simply step into the system, so to speak. You can buy and sell. You can walk up and be nobody and buy or sell and make some money or lose some money in the market. But the fact that the opportunity is there is really wonderful, and I hope that the free market system continues. There's a lot of people that don't believe in the free market system. There's a lot of people that don't believe in free markets as a concept. It bothers them for whatever reason, but fortunately, most, if not all, industrialized, you know, communities, America and others, do believe in the free market system, and that means that markets are all over the world, and if you learn the skill of trading, if you can overcome your own natural psychological implications to constantly repeat the wrong behavior in the market, and I'm not saying that sarcastically, I mean it as a fact, if you can overcome that, you can use the markets for the rest of your life to make some reasonable or large income from trading. And trading does have its, obviously, its financial rewards. It also has its psychological price that you must pay. And that payment is made in the form of overcoming bad but yet natural habits. And once you learn to do that, you have a skill that is equally as difficult to learn, which is the reversal of these bad psychological habits. You have a skill that is equally as difficult to learn, probably as any master's degree or PhD would be to obtain. It really is that difficult in most cases to consistently overcome psychological barriers, things that, you know, we're so used to looking outside of us and saying, well, I can do this, I can jump this high, I can accomplish this feat. But a lot of the really, really important accomplishments in your life are going to be internal. And so I want you to think about that, and I think about this myself. I'm not speaking down to anybody, but you're going to find that as you get a little older, depending on your age now, and I happen to be 52, that your greater accomplishments are going to be internal to you. They're not going to be necessarily external to you. Even people who do great external things come to this realization that your greater accomplishments are going to be internal accomplishments, getting over something, seeing through something that has led you down a path your whole life or has walked you through a series of bad incidents because you believed wrongly about something and now you see it clearer, any number of things like that. In a sense, it's kind of an awakening process. And that awakening is a much more satisfying feeling, let's just say, for lack of a better word, than almost any external accomplishment would be. It's so much closer, so much more intimate to you that you've seen through something, you've transcended something. I've joked about this before, but if I ever write a book, it might be titled something like, well, let me remember what my title was. Success isn't getting something. It's getting over something.
Right. Yeah.
And that is a key theme in my life, and I hope that others will think about that, that the tremendous pickup that you get by seeing through something, getting over someone, I don't mean getting over them in the sense of getting something from them. I mean getting over them, let's say you had a psychological attachment that was hurting you. But transcending things is a wonderfully intimate, close, exciting feeling to be able to see through something. Very much like if you were dreaming at night. Let's take a man. Just let me just walk this through to its final completion, then we'll get back to the markets. Think of somebody who's asleep and he's dreaming. And in that dream, he's being chased maybe through the jungle, let's just say, by tigers. Mm-hmm. And in that dream, he has to say to himself, okay, now I have got several options. I could turn left here, and I could run this way down this path. I could turn right, or maybe ahead there's a lake that I can jump into. And these are his solutions to this problem that he has. And this problem that he has is that these tigers are chasing him. And suddenly, he wakes up, mm-hmm. and the dream ends.
Right.
Now, at the moment he wakes up, he instantly, irrevocably knows something that he didn't know while he was dreaming. And what he knows is that he's now awake. He doesn't have to convince himself. There's no logic he has to use. It doesn't require thought. He instantly knows that he is awake and has, in a sense, transcended the problem. What was the problem? He was being chased by tigers. He had a bunch of solutions at the level of that problem, the level being the dream. But now he's awoken. He's awakened. He sees that not only was the problem, the tigers chasing him, and all those solutions false, but he also has another really important piece of information, that he's no longer in that problem, that the problem doesn't need to be solved, it just needed to be transcended. It just needed to be seen through.
Experiences what some of us refer to as a holy instant.
That's right.
An incredible sense of relief,
yes.
and joy, because it wasn't real.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about with the idea that as you get older, your accomplishments become much more inner than they are outer. And that intimacy that we're talking about, we're certainly not talking about male-female intimacy. We're talking about the intimacy, how close and real that feeling is, that when you've transcended something, that you've seen through something that you took as real, as false, your life opens up, you know, like a wide open field, and you feel like you can do anything. That is a wonderful feeling. That is a wonderful direction to take your life in, is to begin to examine what it is that internally has kept you in a box, in a prison. And I could go on and on about this, but I just wanted to express that idea that the inner is where the real accomplishments will start taking place in your life, if you are doing great things on the outside. Maybe you're making great movies or something outside, but it doesn't matter who you are, you'll see that it all finally turns to the inner, and that's where the real gains or losses take place in a person's life. So that's my little bit for the morning. It means a lot to me, mm-hmm. and it's more than just a little bit to me, but for the purposes of the radio program, it's a little bit. So,
everyone should ponder that.
Yeah. Thank you. A lot of the accomplishments that I've made in my life that may appear to be external were external only because I had an earlier internal accomplishment that allowed me to see my way to doing something that later reflected that internal accomplishment outwardly in some project or in something that I did. And also, you know, luck plays its part in life too. And I want people to remember this, that when you see people who are quote-unquote successful in life, you have to understand that it doesn't necessarily mean that they had something that you innately didn't have, but that luck itself, sheer luck, plays a great deal in where people find themselves in life. And by luck, I simply mean that they were lucky to have a certain personality trait that were, and then they were lucky to run into a certain circumstance in life that that personality trait worked well with, and they were able to do something that was maybe a great accomplishment or put them at some level higher than you or whatever you think that is. But I'm really a fan of not comparing yourself to other people. I'm really a fan that you're unique. Each person is unique and really has to find their own way. And their own way is an internal way. It's a way that you transcend a lot of these things that we're talking about, the worry about what other people have done that may be better than you. I grew up, as an example, in a household that had, it was my stepfather was a very high-end guy in the university, and a very bright man, very well-read, and could and did brag about his knowledge, and could deal with people, and had a certain charisma about him. And I barely, to be honest with you, barely made it through high school. And not because I'm an idiot, but primarily because I didn't have the interest nor the vision to see what school's purpose was. You know, maybe a lot of people feel this way. I was in school, I knew I had to do it, but I didn't really understand why. I felt like almost like school was interrupting my education.
Right.
Now I have a different view of school, which is that I would love to go back because I have a vision for what I could use it for. I see the practical value of it, but I didn't back then. And anyway, I grew up in a family of people where accomplishment was very important, especially these intellectual accomplishments and things like this. And I didn't have those, even though I'm well-spoken, and you, or maybe you think I'm well-spoken, but you know, I know how to speak, but I didn't have the intellectual accomplishments that my stepfather did. And I had to find my own way in life, as do others. And so instead of comparing myself to him and trying to outdo him, or any other relatives, I decided to try to find out what my own natural proclivities were, et cetera. And I tell people to do that for themselves and not get lost in the really bad habit of comparing yourself to other people, which means that really you're not going to be guided by your own light. You're going to be guided by somebody else's, and you're simply going to be imitating somebody else. And I'm telling you that whether you know it or not, you have unique qualities that if you will take the time, literally, if it's necessary, to meditate on what it is you have and what you're capable of doing. Oftentimes, people have skill sets that they're so they do it so habitually, they don't realize that that's something that could really take them very far. As an example, and again, I know this is not market stuff, but I just want to say this. There's a sushi restaurant that we eat at quite often after work here, and that restaurant has a fellow that works behind the counter there. And he is a just probably a poor Mexican guy, but he happens to have he is actually one of the things they do there is when people come in that don't speak English, he helps translate because mm-hmm. he can speak in three or four different languages. Well, guess what? People that can speak in three or four different languages get paid $25 an hour to do that work in all kinds of government and other types of jobs.
Sure.
And here he is working probably for minimum wage as a dishwasher,
right.
And just on the side does this thing that he has a natural knack for. Has he ever sat down and taken stock of what he has, what his skill set is, and that what he might be able to do with it? I don't think so, because he's
probably hung up on the documentation thing.
Possibly.
Now, and I throw that out as, you know, as a real possibility.
Yeah. My point, though, is that he doesn't, you know, let's put that aside.
Put that aside, and he does not recognize the value of that which he possesses.
That's correct, and that's what I'm saying. I always say to people, please, stop comparing yourself to other people and take a look at your own skill sets. Take a look at your own abilities, whatever they are. They might even be just talking to people. They might be any number of things. That's where you can find your own light and your own way. And you'll find that that itself is an accomplishment in life. And again, isn't it inner? It's an inner accomplishment to find that. That will then reflect itself in some outer thing that you do. And people go, oh, that outer thing's very great, but you'll know the secret that that outer thing really occurred from you having first done the inner transcending, the getting over something, the realizing of something, which then allows you to do something on the outside. So consider all that, you know, whether you're talking about trading or whether you're talking about anything, and do not compare yourself to anybody, myself, anyone else. Find your own way in this. Use everything you can. Use the help you can get from people, but don't compare yourself to them and make yourself miserable. What a life. You know, you don't need that kind of life, and you're not put here for that kind of life. You really are not. I can say that with great certainty. Anyway, so we're very quiet right now in the markets. We came down today. We did this decline that we talked about on Friday. We were looking for a further decline into Monday. This may extend itself a little further than that. And we're the market has bounced off of one of the levels, which is 79 in our support and resistance panel. We've gotten lower than that today. But the number that we really would like to see on the downside today is the 74, 75 level today or tomorrow. So if they get there and we see an hourly close, a touch spike, an hourly close above that, that would be the earliest sign for an important potential buying territory for an advance. So keep that in mind, and we'll go from there over the next day or so. Additionally, we had talked today earlier in soybeans, and if you want to switch over, we're looking at November soybeans.
By the way, I now have live data for.
Good.
You know how much I had to pay for that data?
Nothing.
$1.
Wow.
$1.
That's cheap.
It's like an ad. No, I take that back. I wanted the NYSE data and the so I could pull the trend data in.
Mm-hmm.
That cost me $1. Something else cost me $1. But adding going from the mini CBOT package to the full blown CBOT package,
mm-hmm.
I think amounted to about an extra $20 a month,
$25. Wow, that's good pricing. You might want to let your listeners know. Did you just say the CBOT? That's where you got that?
Yeah, the full CBOT package is $55 through TradeStation.
Ah, okay.
I was just using the mini version, which was like $25, and so I guess my bill went up another $30. But what I was amazed was that the New York Stock Exchange data and also the NASDAQ, because I have an indicator that pulls in the NYSE and the NASDAQ to create a trend composite. And I wasn't going to use it because I thought, man, I don't want to pay for all that data. But those two data streams were $1 a piece per month.
Wow.
So
that is cheap.
Yeah.
That is cheap.
Okay, beans.
Anyway,
let's talk beans.
Let's take a look at the beans. The beans, look at the stock market declining. Look at the beans. I've mentioned this before. They run. There's a lot of similarity sometimes in these markets. And I don't make any – there's nothing mystical about that. It's just the fact that there is a lot of correlation between them sometimes. And I'm not saying that that can necessarily be used to your advantage. It's just an interesting observation. In the beans today, this, like the other markets, we'd like to see this get a little bit lower than where they are. We think they probably will get lower over the next day or so, and we would be looking to be a buyer at somewhat lower prices here if the beans were to reach 925 as an example, or I know this is much lower than where we are, or $9.10. This, again, is in November beans. We'd be interested in taking a look at that. Also, any important intraday advance, because the trend is down in this market, we think would be selling territory. And I know that's a very general statement, but I don't have the ability to give all the numbers out and everything that's important. But we think that any intraday advance of importance would probably be selling territory for an important decline if the market confirms at or near those levels. Now, you and I have spoken about this before, and I want to say this to you because it's something that we've talked about. You know, trading can be very complicated. You can make it very complicated, and you can also make it very simple. And a lot of times you'll read books that talk about, you know, let's keep it simple. Simple is good. It really is. Simple is good. You can come up with a lot of complicated ways to work out what markets should do under a given set of conditions to make forecasts or any number of metrics on the market. But the fact is if you have some simple numbers that the market should react at, and numbers that are important, support or resistance levels, you can learn how to trade off of those levels, and again, keeping the idea of simplicity in mind, and be doing nothing else in the market, simply waiting for those levels to be reached, either as an advance or a decline, and then when the market does reach them and starts to confirm, you can trade at those levels and oftentimes trade repeatedly. And I've mentioned to you, Duane, that I myself will often take an important level, as an example, a resistance level. The market has advanced up and touched some level of importance. I'll wait for some confirmation, and then I'll trade many times off of that. I will, knowing, even if I have a target on the downside that might be 10 points away, just as an example, I may be in that trade three or four times before I'm finally holding my smallest position at that point for an actual decline to that level, to the 10-point target. Because I know the market's not usually going to just hand that target over. It's going to come back and forth many times. And so one of the ideas that I'd like your listeners to think about in their trading is the simple idea of having a good support or resistance level, waiting for the market to show some confirmation at that level, and then trading multiple times, working that level, really putting the knowledge that you have to use that that level is important, and trading against that level as the market tests and retests that level. It doesn't always do that, but it does often, doesn't it? Retest the level many times.
It does.
So you can be in and out of that position, and don't get a fixed idea necessarily of how far down it's going to go. If you say, I've got a thing down at 2 points and it goes to 1.5, be willing to take the 1.5 and see if you can reshort it again.
And I just want to say that if you're watching a level just like we were prior to you coming on, we took a trade off 981 to 983.
Okay, there
we
are.
We said, now let's see how important this 981 level is going to become. And for the longest time, the market bounced between 981 and 982, 981, 982, 981, 982, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, any number
there,
of opportunities there, yet we had an aggressive target beyond 983 of 987, but our initial target was 983. So 981 and 983, that played out perfectly.
So that's beautiful.
Then the market begins to gyrate between 81 and 82, 81 and 82, 81 and 82. 81 finally gives way.
Mm-hmm.
Now what does the market do? It gives way, comes back, tags 81, and heads in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down, we're currently trading 979.5. So 981 in the final analysis was, yes indeed, an important number. It gave us profit opportunities on the upside.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it finally gave way, it gave us profit opportunities on the downside.
Right. So if you'll play with the idea of simply having, I mean, how much more simple can it get? We have an important level. The market reaches it. It gives some form of confirmation. And you can use any number of techniques, even just waiting for a touch and 15-minute bar close below it or something simple like that. And then you begin selling and buying back and forth in a relatively narrow range off that level. You may trade 4 or 5 times. And then if you have some other more advanced idea, technique, that tells you that the market needs to be going lower than that over some period of time, that's a reasonable period of time, wouldn't require you to be in the market for days, then you can hold your final position for the attempt at that level. Because indeed, in many cases, the market will go back and forth in a small range before finally, in a sense, showing its hand and then running down to that level. So keep that idea in mind, the simplicity of simply having an important buying or selling level and trading effectively at it. And also, to mention the downside, this also means that if the market gets into a position where it confirms that you're wrong about that level, that you either stop and reverse, which is a much more advanced thing to do, advanced psychologically and just technically, to be able to know about that type of setup and be able to trade to some further target, or simply get out of the position with a loss. The idea is to keep the losses very controlled and small, and when you're right, you're going to take several opportunities to make yourself right in that position. You're going to be trading it several times. The markets act differently at each resistance level. Sometimes they reverse strongly off it. Sometimes they'll trade in a range off of it. But the times that they do trade in a range off it, you can make quite a bit of trades, 4 or 5 trades often, and have a nice little bunch of gains, and then be holding a position for that final run to a target. So there's a very simple concept that you can put to use in your own trading without having to get too complicated with indicators and, you know, in-depth reasons why the market has to go to a specific number. Because we talk about that a lot. And my one of my, you know, interests and proclivities is to go into that. But it, a lot of my personal trading, and people have asked me about my personal trading, a lot of my personal trading is really very simple. It's surprisingly simple compared to what I sound like when I talk, and A, and B, when we talk about these ideas and the more complex ideas for forecasting, et cetera. But I trade relatively simply, and I will trade multiple times off of a level, very much like this Michael, friend of ours I've mentioned to you, has done. Mm-hmm. And then I will try to hold for that target. And just for people to know this, I never, no matter how accurate the targets are, I never hold for the actual target. I will get out prior to the target. Just something that I've learned over the years is that I'm willing to be a little frustrated even when making money. You know, everybody wants the home run. Everyone wants to say it all went their way. The truth of the matter is that most of the time you're going to be frustrated in losing, unless you, I mean, losing is a frustrating thing, but you're also going to be frustrated in winning as well. Because, and you have to be ready for that. The frustration is that you're not necessarily going to get every last point that you wanted to get. You're not necessarily going to be able to hold the position to your target, and it's probably not a good idea to hold it for the target fully, to get out a little bit early, and that can cause you frustration. But that's the price you pay to be in this market. It's just, you know, get the dream picture out of your head that this is something where you're hitting a home run. You're not going to be Babe Ruth on every trade. And the truth of the matter is that you're not going to be Babe Ruth on any trade. The truth of the matter is that you earn your money here. Babe Ruth means that it just all comes your way. It's a home run, and it's all just been wonderful. And you can tell your friends about it. Also, one other thing. Don't brag about your trade. That's another really, really infantile habit, number one. And number two, what it does is it starts building up in your own mind mental pictures of your success, and you start looking at the risk side of the business, and you start wanting to feel that feeling over again. Why? So that you can go tell your friends you had another winning trade. And before you know it, you've talked yourself into a bunch of losses by simply bragging. It's much better when people ask you, and this is just obviously my opinion, but I've been through this, and I've been seriously the bragger. I've been down that road about bragging about trades and about how much money I made on a specific trade. But you don't see people bragging about how much they lose. And if you'll just get out of the business of talking about trading to people, unless they're very interested, if you'll get out of the business of telling them how you make a living, what you do for a living, and all that stuff, just get that off the plate, you'll find that you're much clearer when you're actually trading. You don't have this image that you have to withhold or, you know, hold up in your head because you've already told so many people how well you're doing. And I have really found that that was a really bad habit of mine. Maybe I'm the only guy on earth that has that bad habit, but in case yeah, right. of your bad habit, in case of somebody else's bad habit, my suggestion is that you very seriously consider stopping telling people about your trading, stopping talking about how much money you lose when you know that you're hiding the fact that you didn't make money on the month or something, and just simply make it, you know, I hate to sound religious about this, but, you know, in the Bible, a great thing that Jesus said was, don't pray in the street to be seen of men. That's go right. in a closet. Do it privately. And, you know, a lot of what Jesus said and did was pointing out the hypocrisy of the religious order of that mm-hmm. time. And that hypocrisy runs yep. through to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're not going into religion here, but I want to say to you something similar. Don't trade in front of other men to be seen of men. Go do your trading quietly. Do your trading in the closet. Have your results stay quiet. Don't be a bragger. Don't go out and tell people all that. It actually hurts you. It actually hurts your own trading. It'll actually put pictures in your head that make you act differently. And before you know it, you're just in the world of trouble. And then when your friends ask you, hey, how's everything going? Now you have to, you know, either tell them a lie or, you know, change the subject and all that stuff. It's a bad path. So I hope that's a good reminder for people as well, because, again, I'm not speaking down to people. I spent a number of years bragging to people how much money I made while not saying what I had, when I had lost or when I had bad days or whatever. And the truth of the matter was that for the first probably 4 or 5 years of my trading, I lost many hundreds of thousands of dollars. So in doing so, along the way, I was bragging. But in the end, I hadn't made any money at all for myself. strangely enough, I had made money for other people because I wasn't trading for them, and I told that story like I was for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has a really profoundly good idiot inside of them, somebody who can just do things completely wrong. We all have that in us. You know what I'm saying? And we also, surprisingly enough, have somebody, we also have a great deal of innate wisdom in us, but you don't find that out on your own a lot. Sometimes you have to have somebody else ask you to do something, like trade for them. And if you really want to find this out for yourself, this is one last thing I'll say for the psychological side of this, is trade for somebody else. Find somebody who respects you and likes you and take some of their money and put it in an account and see how willing you are to trade that money. And I bet you anything that you trade their account a lot differently than you trade your own account. I'll bet you. And I'll bet you another thing. I'll bet you trade their account a lot better than you trade your own account, if you're anything like me. And in doing so, you'll find out that you have a lot more wisdom than you thought you did. And since you're not fooling around with their money, since you're not going to play around like you do with your money, you trade a lot better in their account. But in your account, you might be, you know, trashing your account left and right while actually making money for them. And that will show you that you actually have some wisdom inside of you. It's just that you needed to be put into a position so that you could dig that wisdom out of you. And a lot of that wisdom is I'm not going to do anything in the markets until it's really obvious that a really good trade is here. And that goes back to my biggest principle, trade by exception. Wait for the really good trades. Don't chase. Don't look at the market and try to make everything look like a trade to you. Make them come after you, because I'll tell you something, when you get really good at this stuff, the trades chase you. That's how it really works out. You don't chase the trades. They chase you. And what does that mean? That means that you're not doing anything. You have no intention of trading. Imagine that, looking at your screen with no intention of trading. Have you ever been in that psychological position? I have.
Yeah.
That's how I try to trade every day, is I have no intention of trading at all. And I wait for the market to show me something so compelling that I have to break my rule of not trading and actually go and trade. That's how I think about markets. And that has made a tremendous difference in my trading, as opposed to maybe like you do it now, which is to try to take every possible trade that's in front of you, or try to get it, you know, find yourself impatient, waiting for any little opportunity to show up. And before you know it, you know, you're just hacking yourself at the end of the month. I'm not talking about it in any one day, but at the end of the month, if you want to make money, start making the trades chase you. And you'll find that's a dramatically different psychological perspective to be working from. And I hope that's of help to people as well. So I think I've said it all, Dwayne.
Excellent. I think you have.
Actually, there's probably a whole lot more, but you don't want me to just dribble on for hours meaninglessly, do you?
No, that's good. It's all good stuff, and it's all stuff that people need to hear. And, you know, we truly do learn by teaching, and that which mm-hmm. we know and understand, we're obligated, I think, not only to share it with humanity, but to for two reasons, that they might be enlightened and that we might be reminded.
Yeah, one last thing I'd like to say that you said about teaching. I'm sure some of your other guests that have their own systems and programs have found out is how much you learn by teaching. I don't think there is a more intensely powerful way to make discoveries about a subject than it is to teach something that you already know about. And I'll tell you that the people that I've taught a certain amount of trading information to, during those periods, I learned brand new pieces of information in the process of teaching them, things that I might not have ever come up just sitting and looking at the screen. There's something inherently good, I really mean that, good, about teaching. There's something so good about it that the gold nuggets don't just go to the person being taught. The gold nuggets go to the teacher as well. I'm not sure if the gold nuggets don't go more to the teacher, but I don't care which way it is.
Right.
But I have found that in teaching others that I have learned tremendous things, and I've walked away more excited, or at least as excited as the student was, and said, my God, I've got to get back to my screen. That was a great idea, because in the process of teaching, it somehow opens up your own mind, and something in that whole thing about giving information to others really is a life changer. It can be a game changer. So that's another one that you may want to try, is teaching something that you understand to somebody else and seeing if that doesn't dramatically change the way you feel about it, even give you brand new ideas. All of this points to what we talked about initially, which is that aren't all these accomplishments inner? These things are all inside us. That's why I say that it's later in life, it really becomes the inner accomplishments. That may reflect itself later in something outward that you do, but it's the inner that we really feel most intimately about and ultimately makes us happier than simple acquisition would on the outside, buying a new car, doing something. Those acquisitions, they become less important, and what becomes more important is what we're talking about, transcending things, getting over things, seeing through things that you took as real but now as false, having those insights, teaching people, gaining new insights. This is all the inner world, the whole drama is inside, and you can really go far with a lot of this stuff, no matter what it is that you're doing. And so I hope that I hope all of this puts somebody on a path in that direction. You'll get there one way or the other, whether you hear somebody tell you about it or not. In the end, you're going to find out that the inner is really more important than the outer. Even though that sounds like a cliche, I'm telling you, it really is the real deal.
Excellent.
All right. Well, there we are, Dwayne. We'll leave the market as it is for right now. It's very quiet. And this week is very important now that the market has shown its hand at by breaking down and coming down lower into Monday, as we talked about earlier on Friday. And if we do get down to the 74 and 75 level, let's watch that level. And I've joked about this before, but when you get to these support and resistance levels, you know, work that level like a comedian works a room. Buy against that level repeatedly. Get in and get out. Use the knowledge that that level is important to its highest and best use. Make a number of trades there. And then make, if you have a target, hold on to that last position for that target. But make sure that you use that information of that level and the fact that the market's confirming at its highest and best use, and make several trades at that level and see if that isn't helpful to you. I hope it is.
I hope it is too. 981 just came back into play, so hopefully
there we are.
Everyone can do something with it.
All right, well, good. Well, Dwayne, I look forward to talking with you. I love being on the show. Thank you very much for the extra time today, and I'll I plan on talking with you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thanks, David. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you then. Bye-bye.
All right, friends, that is going to do it for me. Watch that 981. It's, again, you, based on your own trading style and how you view the market and what you use to view the market with, you have to determine what level of importance that has and how, in fact, I love David's comment about, you know, work that level the way a comedian works the room. Think about that. Let that sink in. And then, is 981 sitting up again as a resistance level? Looks that way, doesn't it? It's good for a few ticks. Could it be worth more? Potentially. But watch it. We'll see. End of the day, draw a line through it. See how many times the market touch that area, and then build from there. Thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.